It's the second longest economic expansion in modern U.S. history, but it hasn't been much of a recovery for some. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Unemployment is near historic lows. The job market's tight, wages have been rising. And yet, when you crunch Bureau of Labor Statistics wage data by race, it turns out that African-American workers have benefited much less from the economic recovery than white, Asian, and Hispanic workers. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
Since 2007, inflation-adjusted wages are up 5% for white workers, 6% for Asians, 10% for Hispanics, and for black workers, just 1.2%. Valerie Wilson at the Economic Policy Institute says state and local minimum wage hikes have helped, but better would be a federal minimum wage hike.
That would get into those southern states that have about 60% of African-American workers and are much less likely to increase minimum wages.
Terrence Wise is 31, African-American, and works at a McDonald's in Kansas City, Missouri. He says he asked his employer for a raise for 3 years, then started organizing with the labor movement Fight for 15.
And after the first time I went on strike, I got a raise the very next day.
Valerie Wilson attributes the racial wage disparity since the Great Recession to lower educational attainment and higher unemployment among African Americans and racial discrimination. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
We've got a few big tech IPOs later today. Social media company Pinterest will sell its first public shares. Zoom will too. Zoom is the video conferencing company. It's expected to be worth about $9 billion, and it's coming to market just as lots of companies are looking for ways to conference in remote workers. In fact, research last year found that 70% of full-time employees work remotely at least once a week. Marketplace tech host Molly Wood has more on why there is so much demand for Zoom.
In theory, video conferencing can save companies thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars in travel costs and, of course, in lost productivity from spending all that time in transit. But the truth is, the tech just isn't very good. It's hard to use. It doesn't always work. I mean, when is the last time that you had a meeting start on time and had everything work perfectly? A Forrester research analyst told me companies can lose up to $1 million a year in lost productivity because phone and video conferencing is so hard and so clunky and takes up so much time at the start of every meeting. Clearly, businesses do want better options. Zoom is already profitable. It's become sort of a cult darling among startups, and it's been growing users at over 100% per year. It says that's because its platform is more modern, it's cloud-based, and easier to use than some of these older names that sort of added in video conferencing later. It is important to note, though, that no video conference service can really survive bad bandwidth from hotels or home offices. There are a lot of factors that go into making one of these calls work, so it still might not be perfect.
Marketplace tech host Molly Wood. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down less than a tenth of a percent. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up around one-tenth of a percent, with the Dow future up 24 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.57%. And Samsung shares dropped 3% today after reports came out that its newest phone breaks too easily. The Samsung Galaxy Fold has a foldable screen and costs nearly $2,000. Samsung is the world's largest cell phone producer.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
China has the world's largest car market, and sales have been dropping for the past 9 months, except for electric cars. Plenty of them being unveiled this week at the auto show in Shanghai. Marketplace China correspondent Jennifer Pak was there to find out why domestic Chinese brands are in the lead.
Everyone, look at this product's appeal. Among the vehicles on show here is a sleek red electric sports car from Chinese automaker BYD. It's not for sale yet, but it already has fans like car blogger Song Chenghui. He says it doesn't matter for him whether the brand is foreign or domestic. For him, it's all about the look, design, performance, and whether it's good value. Similar considerations led another man at the show to choose an electric SUV by Chinese firm NIO over a Tesla. His name is Jim Wei, and he's the startup's 69th customer.
I think electric cars are the future. They're environmentally friendly, and they save money. Each charge at home costs only $4.50. My wife works close to home, so she only needs to charge the car once every 2 weeks. But I can't. I charge it every day.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons that people don't want to buy electric cars, is they're worried about losing power. Did you worry about that?
I wanted to try it. I think the charging infrastructure in China is getting better, and now one of NIO's staff members will take my car to charge and deliver it back to me, so it's convenient. NIO's electric car also has a smart robot called Nomi, and its eyes will turn to the person who's speaking. We talk to it like it's part of the family. My son even renamed the robot Little Blue. All you have to say is, "I feel cold," and Little Blue will say, "Okay, I'll turn up the heat."
Jim Wei's now placed an order with the same Chinese company for another electric SUV. At the Shanghai Auto Show, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
The head of the FCC, Ajit Pai, said he is opposing the application of Chinese cell phone service provider China Mobile to operate in the U.S. China Mobile is one of the world's largest cellular providers and wants to offer international cell service to the U.S. market. Pai said the application raises substantial and serious national security and law enforcement risks. The FCC's five commissioners will make an official decision in May, he said. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.